Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about the spiritual battle, the spiritual conflict that we're engaged in. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, it's been our theme. I'm going to spill over, I think, into next week, because it's important for us to be, as Jesus said, to be alert, to be watchful, and to understand the spiritual nature of the conflict that really takes place throughout human history. And life on earth is fundamentally a spiritual battle. We don't like to think about it. Even beginning to think about it discourages people. But for the Christian, we should never be discouraged, because we know it's light. It's revelation. It's understanding about the true nature of things. You can't really live a life ordered toward happiness and freedom and goodness if you're not living in the truth. The world attempts to deny it all, to suppress that truth. And then, unfortunately, when that happens, we stop fighting and we become subject to what St. Peter and St. Paul and the Lord himself call the principalities and powers. We become subjected to the wiles of the enemy, the great deceiver. And Jesus said to us very clearly, friends, he's a liar and he's a deceiver and he's a murderer. And friends, he has a plan for your life, period. That's it. He's going to hunt you and he's going to try to enslave you. He's going to try to cut you off from God's life before you die. That's what he's after. And that's a very big deal. It's the biggest deal in your life. And the fact that you've been baptized into Christ means you've been baptized into and equipped for this battle. You're able to put on the armor of God. You're able to have the, as the apostles remind us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's all true if we're following the teaching of the apostles and living in a way that's watchful, we're awake, we're alert, we're resisting the temptations of the enemy and helping others do it. So, again, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to do that. Go to renewalministries.net. What I'd like to do right now is just dive into the catechism a little bit more, which is where I left off yesterday in the section on original sin, which begins in paragraph 396. If you have time today or this weekend, I'd encourage you to read these very helpful paragraphs. And again, to underline, why am I talking about original sin? The fundamental reason I'm talking about it is it explains the reality of why the spiritual battle and humanity's struggle with resisting God will never end until Jesus comes again, number one. Number two, it's one of the key strategies in this moment in human history of the devil to lead the elite of society, the cultural, those who are shaping society today, to really deny original sin. I've talked a lot about that this week, so I won't go back to it. I encourage you, Monday and Tuesday, I explained a little bit more the contours of the spiritual conflict that we're facing and why the kind of neo-Gnostic heresies of our time that are emerging, the utopianism, is built on a fundamental lie that there's essentially nothing wrong with the human heart and the only hope for man is to be self-creative, to design his own truth, design his own goodness, to design his own nature, all of that. That's just a lie, and it's a deception of the devil, and it's a resistance to God and God's plan. So back to the catechism, paragraph 399. Said Scripture portrays the tragic consequences of this first disobedience, that is Adam and Eve's fall and man's resistance to God that led to the fall. Adam and Eve immediately lose the grace of original holiness. They become afraid of God and of whom they have conceived a distorted image, that of a God jealous of his prerogatives. The devil seduced Adam and Eve to believe and to doubt that God can be trusted and led them to believe that somehow God was keeping them in a lower place, subject to him, and in a place deceiving them so that they remain subject to him, so they won't be like him, that God is jealous of his power and his unique place. And Adam and Eve fall prey to the deceptions of the devil, who starts to play on them and say, you know, did he really tell you not to eat of that tree? Why would he tell you not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Ah, here's why. As they begin to ask that question, he serves up the answer. Right? He doesn't want you to have his prerogatives. He doesn't want you to be great like he's great. He wants you to be subject to him. And they believed a lie. And they resisted the good God. And man fell. That's the origin of it. That's the fundamental sin that's in the human heart. And that's one that's very alive today. And so the antidote to that kind of pride is humility, as we saw with St. Peter, who said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will raise you up. Humility, as modeled by Our Lady and the saints, this is the way forward. God will lift the humble because the humble receive. Humility puts us in a posture of truth before God. I'm not God. I didn't create my own nature. I'm not my own designer. I didn't make up the moral law. I'm not my own originator. I'm God's creature. And he's made me in his image and called me to be in his family, to be his child. That's the source of my dignity. That's the only place I'll ever find freedom. That's it, right there. God's not my adversary. He's my advocate. So the catechism goes on. I'm going to go to paragraph 401. It said, after that first sin, the world is virtually inundated by sin. There is Cain's murder of his brother Abel and the universal corruption which follows in the wake of sin. Likewise, sin frequently manifests itself in history, in the history of Israel, especially as infidelity to God in the covenant and as transgression to the law of Moses. And even after Christ's atonement, sin raises its head in countless ways among Christians. Scripture and the church's tradition continually recall the presence of the universality of sin in man's history. It's never going to be gone. It's never going to be put away until Jesus comes finally, friends, to put it away. When he, the one who conquered sin and death, will finally make all things new. Now, we have power in the Holy Spirit. By being born again, born anew by water and the Spirit, we become children of God. And there's a new power and a new capacity in us to resist this. Jesus said the devil had no hold on him. And literally, I believe some of the saints who died in a place of amazing grace, of tremendous conformity to the person of Christ and so much victory over the devil couldn't find a handle. He couldn't find a hold in them. But the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, St. Peter told us. And he's always looking for a place to grab, a doorway in. He's circling, he's hunting, he's prowling. And that's what he wants to do. Where's our weak points? Where's our Achilles heel? Am I easily seduced by pride, by lust, by anger, by bitterness? Do my own insecurities, my jealousies, unforgiveness, fear, self-hatred, self-loathing, are these things present in my life in such a way that they leave me vulnerable to the enemy? Because he's looking for them. Jesus has given us his Spirit, and through it we've become children of God. And our identity and our destiny is something that we receive from God, and it's a solid rock foundation. And it's the only place we'll find security and freedom and ultimately happiness. And so we need to lean into it and receive it as true. And so the battlefield is intense for us, friends. There's no question about it. I want to jump down to a couple other brief paragraphs in the Catechism before I conclude the program today. Paragraph 407. The doctrine of original sin, closely connected with that of redemption by Christ, provides lucid discernment of man's situation and activity in the world. So that's a great line to describe everything we've been talking about today. Modern man is denying original sin. Modern man is pushing God from the human horizon because God is my adversary and he limits my absolute radical autonomy and my power to decide for myself what's true and good and beautiful. So that's going on. As I said, it's that very idea, those very ideas are bleeding into the church itself. And I want to encourage the preachers and the teachers of the church, be honest with yourself. Face the question, are you afraid to stand up and preach the gospel? Are you blushing at the gospel? Are you embarrassed by what the church teaches about, for example, human sexuality and gender identity and all the rest of that sort of thing, what the church believes about such things? It's time to stand up while you can and stand for the truth, like Paul said, take your stand. If you're not willing to do that because of self-love, because of weakness, turn in your badge. Don't be a teacher. Scripture's very clear about warning against teachers and the consequences of being a teacher and not teaching the faith, right? I'm not getting down on you. I'm trying to encourage you. You have every reason to be confident because God will strengthen you. But if you're giving in and you want people to like you more than you're lining behind your master and your commander and teaching what he wants you to teach, you got to get out of it. You either have to change it, repent, or get out of it. It's not a good position for you to be in for the sake of the people, but also for your spiritual sake. It's not a good place to be in. So again, this line from 407, the doctrine of original sin closely connected with that of the redemption by Christ provides lucid discernment of man's situation and activity in the world. By our first parent's sin, the devil has acquired a certain domination over man, even though man remains free. Here's another truth that's rejected. People today are expressing this radical autonomy, and they're declaring that it's their freedom, and it's they themselves who are independently, radically making all these decisions and turning the world on its head. That's a deception. There's nothing original. There's nothing original going to come from anybody in these matters. Where does it come from? It comes from the enslavement, the fallen condition of the human heart. This line from the Catechism is brilliant, it's true, and we need to believe it. The devil has acquired a certain domination over man, even though man remains free. And when we decide that we want to connive against the Lord, or we want pleasures that the Lord doesn't want us to have, or we want a radical independence of God that doesn't please God, all that stuff, when we say yes to this, we're actually saying yes, friends, because we've already fallen to a deception. You didn't originate that idea. That idea, those lies come from the pit. And the world is embracing those lies today and celebrating those lies today. But understand, you're not free. Any opposition to God is idiocy, it's foolishness, it's bondage, it's darkness. And it's going to lead to eternal destruction. The paragraph goes on, 407. Original sin entails captivity under the power of him who henceforth had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil, through sin, wields this power of death. And one of the reasons that people are being seduced so easily into unending entertainment, unending pornography, drug addiction, you know, distraction, more weed, more this, more that, is because when you come out of the light of Christ, and the freedom that comes under the dominion of the king, you are now under the dominion of darkness again, which is dominated by the power of death itself. Hebrews chapter 2 is a good passage to go to, verse 14, to reveal that. So that you allow the devil to wield power and the power of death over you, and so you constantly are fighting to stay young and to stay distracted and to stay comfortable and entertained because those powers are at work on you. There's so much more to talk about, friends, on this. I hope you can tune in next week because we have to take it up. We have to fight this. We have to be equipped and be the light that Christ calls us to be. Have a grace-filled weekend, friends, knowing that the King lives in your heart. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.